Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Yeah, you are. Raheemian Harris on The Score. I'm Mark Grody in for Layla today. And joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com. Download the Circa Sports app today. Mike, what's going on, man? How are you?
All right, guys. You know, the first reaction whenever I do one of these, I got to get centered up in the three shot there. I'm good to go.
We appreciate that, Mike. Secondary, there's a lot going on. Roster cut down day was yesterday, but breaking news just into us, breaking news on The Score, brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. The Vikings getting some receiver insurance, as it were, maybe a prominent receiver. Adam Thielen being traded from the Panthers to the Vikings, the Panthers getting a 2026 fifth-round pick and a 2027 fourth-round pick, while the Vikings get Thielen, a conditional 2026 seventh-round pick, and a 2027 fifth-round pick. This seemed like it was inevitable with Jordan Addison out for the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, they got Jordan Addison out for a suspension arising from a guilty plea to a lesser-included charge on a DUI, and that's an automatic three-game suspension under league rules. Justin Jefferson's had a hamstring problem. Jalen Naylor, who's listed as a starter in the slot position, week to week with a hand injury. They had lost Rondale Moore in the first preseason game with a knee injury. He's out for the year. So they'd been looking, and there was some noise last week about Thielen, and then it died down, and now it's done. And I think it's a great story. Thielen is a local kid, went to Mankato State, wasn't even invited to the combine and just worked his way up and became a great receiver for the Vikings, was there for the first year of the Kevin O'Connell regime, left as a free agent, and now he's back at a time when they need the help, especially if J.J. McCarthy is going to get off to a good start in his first year as the starting quarterback. You need to have reliable targets. Thielen has proven over the years that he's one of them. He knows the offense. He steps right in. It's a comfortable surrounding for him. It's good news for the Vikings at a time when they were getting short on pass catchers.
Yeah, I think reliability is a great word to describe the career of Adam Thielen. I remember talking to Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara back in the day in the Bears locker room, and they, like, I would, like, Kyle Fuller, like, he was a very quiet, soft-spoken guy who would answer questions in five words. When I brought up Adam Thielen to him, he would just rave about his abilities and that dependability. So that's probably, he's not the same guy he was 5-10 years ago. This is no doubt about it, a veteran, but dependable for sure. Mike, in general, because Bears Vikings on Monday Night Football on September 8th, are the Vikings going to be good this year?
Well, you know, this is a team that's got a roster that made it almost to the number one seed last year, but you're taking a leap of faith on an unproven quarterback. It reminds me of what the Vikings went through 25 years ago when they had Randy Moss and Chris Carter and Robert Smith, and they decided to go with Dante Culpepper, who had been a first-round pick the year before. Now, he hadn't been injured the year before, but he didn't play. And they actually tried to get Dan Marino before they handed the baton to Dante Culpepper. They took a risk. They made it to the NFC Championship that year, so it worked. But that's the risk. With an unproven commodity at the most important position on the field, can he be the guy they hoped he'd be when they moved up from number 11 to number 10 to get him? It's a risk. It's a risk. And they thought about keeping Darnold. They thought about keeping Daniel Jones. They at least talked to Aaron Rodgers. They've since decided JJ's the guy. Let's trust our evaluation and let's see if he can blossom in an offense that is very quarterback friendly, thanks to Kevin O'Connell.
Okay. We are on past roster cut down and looking at guys who still aren't signed. Q Micah Parsons. What is the latest with Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, something we wrote today, and I had caught wind of this a month ago, and I had actually forgotten about it. I was reminded of it today. There's an extra fight between the Cowboys slash the league and Parsons over what his salary even is this year on his fifth-year option. Cowboys call him a defensive end. He thinks he's a linebacker. It's like $2.6 million in dispute right there. The bigger dispute, though, is What's going to happen with his contract long term? And does he want to be there? Does he truly want to be traded? He said so nearly a month ago. He hasn't rescinded that. And the fight that could unfold in the coming days, the Cowboys could say to him, we think you're healthy. We think you should be practicing. We think you should be playing. And if you refuse to do so, you will be engaged in conduct detrimental to the team. We reserve the right to fine you and potentially suspend you for conduct detrimental to the team. That's the next level that the Cowboys could take this to. And to the extent that the bridge isn't burned already, that would probably obliterate it if they do that. And then the question becomes, what will Parsons do? But I think right now, 8 days away from the season opener, how are you going to get him acclimated? When's he going to practice? Is he going to play week one in Philadelphia? I think at this point, his commitment is to not play. We'll see if he changes his mind between now and then, either because the Cowboys pressure him or because they make him an offer that he looks at and says, okay, I'll let bygones be bygones. Like Myles Garrett. Remember when Myles Garrett couldn't wait to get out of Cleveland?
Yes, yeah. But they gave him a boatload of money.
At the problem, and the problem solved.
Oh, that's such a great example,
and
man.
It's a great example, but my thing is, when you talk about him not playing, I've assumed he's not going to play in the opener against the Eagles. What becomes the drop dead date in your mind of, hey, he hasn't even stepped foot on the practice field, how can you put him out there?
Well, Brian Schottenheimer, the head coach, said yesterday, and this poor guy's caught in the middle of the Jerry Micah drama, he said he'd like to get him out there as soon as possible. And I think he acknowledged, even at this point, we won't see him for a full game, but he can still be disruptive in spots, but they need to get him out there. They need to get him ready. For guys who are holding in, you have to have enough of a period of acclimation so they don't get themselves injured. This isn't a situation where you sign the contract and the next day you put on your helmet and you go play in a game. He needs to have time to get himself ready. And I think week one, especially since it's the first game of the season, it's fewer days than everyone else. I think that we're already into that zone of, okay, he's going to be a part-time player week one. How much are we actually going to see him, if at all? But if I had to bet one way or the other right now, I'd say he's not going to play next week.
I heard our guys on the morning show, Maureen Haw, on the score every day, 5:30 until 10 on the score, and they were mixing it up a little bit. They were saying that Micah Parsons has been flirting a little bit with the Green Bay Packers on social media, following some of their stuff. And I know this is not unprecedented. Players will do stuff like that to be a little bit cryptic, but I guess it's a two-part question here. Are the Cowboys committed to not trading Micah Parsons, unless obviously they're blown away? And have you heard anything about the Green Bay Packers maybe being interested in Micah Parsons?
You know, there's enough noise on social media that I started to poke around about that today. And this is an item that I haven't had time to post yet on PFT. So,
oh, exclusive.
This is new.
Nice.
For the score. It's coming after I have my lunch, as we've documented.
Yes.
I lay my lunch. Yes. Into after the spot.
We'll get to that later. Yeah.
Spot, then lunch, then story. Sick. But I'm told the Packers are interested, but it's not to the same level as the smoke would suggest. And look, the Cowboys have to be willing to trade him. Look at it this way. And I firmly believe the Cowboys want to kick the can through 2025 as to his salary and as to a potential trade. Because what are you going to get for him now? Oh, two first-round picks plus. Okay, when do I use those picks? I don't use them until April 2026 at the earliest. Why would I trade him now? I'll trade him in March. I get the same return if I trade him later. So I think that's part of this calculus for the Cowboys. And look, I'm a firm believer, and this really crystallized for me this year. With the various contract disputes, the common denominator for all these teams is power and control. And I think the owners like to keep the players in line. They like to keep the players aware of the fact that the owners run the league, the owners make the decisions, and the players are there at the will and pleasure of the teams. And it's an honor and a privilege to be a member of an NFL team. I think that's the attitude, whether it's Mike Brown and Trey Hendrickson, Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons, that's the attitude that is being conveyed here. This is about power. This is about control. This has tethers to the collusion ruling that was hidden by everyone for months. This is about holding the rope in the broader tug of war between management and labor.
Talking to Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, along with Marshall Harris. I am Mark Grody in for Layla Rahimi on the Rahimi and Harris Show. All right, one more question on this, because the last time the Green Bay Packers were supposedly interested in a badass, whether you want to call him a linebacker or a defensive end, was one Khalil Mack. And the Bears moved in and gave him the complete bundle, and Khalil Mack was here and made a splash in his first year. Mike, are you hearing anything about the Bears maybe being interested and aggressive for anybody in terms of getting to the quarterback, but Micah Parsons specifically?
No, nothing about Micah Parsons. And the only thing I've looked into is the Packers, because I've noticed enough steam to say, I should probably look into this and see what's going on. And look, I could see a team saying, why waste our time until we know he's available? And the Cowboys are suggesting nothing about a trade. Look, Jerry Jones was on that podcast last week with Michael Irvin, and he said a lot of things. And he said nothing to suggest that they would be inclined to consider a trade. This is about showing Micah and all the other players who's boss. Jerry's the boss. Mm. He's under contract. Jerry said that repeatedly. He's under contract. And we can do this for 3 more years total, because we've got contract this year and 2 franchise tags. Now, I don't rule out a trade after the season, once they go through potentially a campaign that is undermined by this constant will or won't he play, and he truly wants out, and there's a point where you just have to let the guy go. But for now, until the Cowboys show any inkling to try to do a trade, I think it makes sense for Ryan Poles to spend his time on other things that are more likely to lead to a positive outcome.
Jerry Jones, he loves to blow out other people's candles so that his light shines brighter. Don't ever forget that. Mike Florio joining us, the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. Football Talk on the Score, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Something you wrote that was quite interesting. Quinshon Judkins, 36th overall pick by the Browns. He might have a chance to go back to school, is the way you wrote it?
Well, I think that I don't know that he's going to do it. I haven't heard anything to suggest he will. But we need to be aware of the fact that there are options available to college players and pro players that weren't there in the past. There was just a ruling here in West Virginia last week that 4 Mountaineer players who were otherwise out of eligibility, according to the NCAA, they got a preliminary injunction allowing them to play, because so many of the NCAA rules are antitrust violations on their face. It's amazing to me it took as many years as it did for someone to say, you know what, this whole system is a walking, talking, quacking antitrust violation. You've got independent businesses coast to coast that come together under the umbrella of the NCAA and create these rules that they all adhere to. That's an antitrust violation. These are independent businesses. You're not allowed to do that. Hey, boy, we'd love to pay you, but NCAA rules say we can't. Look at how many years they got away with that. That's over now. And when you start looking at these rules, how many of them are violations of free market, free enterprise? And if I'm a player who has been drafted but hasn't signed a contract, why can't I go back? Why can't the Browns aren't signing him? The league is investigating him. What if there's a college team out there that would pay him $2, $3, $4, $5 million in NIL for 1 year of college football, or part of a year of college football? My point that I try to get through to people is this is an option. And so many people are like, that can't happen. That can't happen. Under what? Under the NCAA rule that is just the latest NCAA rule to be ultimately proven to be an antitrust violation. So this is more about raising awareness to the fact that players have options that they didn't have before, because the NCAA at this point is basically a house of cards that is in the process of being blown down.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mike, back in the contract world, looks like Terry McLaurin did get his 3 years, $96 million. Everybody happy there? Everything's good? Jaden Daniels can continue to thrive, right?
Well, the fact that you said 3 years, 96, just proves that the system works for agents, because the agents put out, to the gaggle of Twitter thumb racers, a version of the deal. And that goes round the world before the truth even has the chance to think about finding its pants, much less put them on. It's 3 years, $29 million a year, not $32 million a year. And that's a big difference when you're talking about just the ego involved. I want to get to $30 million a year. His deal is 29, not 32, but everyone thinks it's 32. Now, at the end of the day, it's a win-win for both sides. And he's back, and that's good. It's just an example of how when you see those initial reports, and I try to get people aware of this as well, always apply an asterisk because there's a chance those initial reports overstate the deal. Yes, it's a good deal, but it's not top of the market. It's not close to top of the market, but it's better than what he was due to make. The Commanders solved the problem. And what a contrast between the Commanders and the Cowboys. Did you ever hear a peep from anyone with Washington other than like Dan Quinn answering perfunctory questions at a press conference? Adam Peters, the GM, never said anything. The owner, Josh Harris, wasn't doing podcasts talking about Terry McLaurin being under contract. It shows you how you get things done without pissing off the player, which I think the Cowboys have done multiple times over the past month.
Yeah, they love it, though, right, Mike? Dallas, they like
the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys love it. The players do not. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, yeah, Mike, thank you so much.
For lunch?
Yeah, what are we dining on, my friend?
Well, I stocked the kitchen yesterday with enough Tomorrow's Bakery pepperoni rolls to get me through the week, unless they have somehow walked away from where I keep them. I need to start hiding them. There's a chance my lunch has already been eaten, either by my son or possibly by my dog.
Wow, that sounds like the radio station here. We've had lots of problems with people stealing stuff and eating food.
Not
and
the dog, though. The dog stealing his pepperoni rolls? That's not good.
My wife uses the pepperoni roll to get the dog to do what we need the dog to do. So sometimes that last pepperoni roll, I find it's been ripped in half and bits have been torn off because that's the only way the dog will listen.
What kind of a pup do you guys have?
We have a Bernie Doodle who runs the household.
Okay.
And I accept the fact that she's in charge in every way. And once you just submit to that, your life is a lot easier.
It bees like that sometimes. Mike, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the lowdown, especially with this Dallas situation.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, Mike. You want to talk about Jalen Johnson next, Marshall?
I think we have to.
Yeah, this is interesting.
I heard a head coach and then a general manager talk about him, and things were kind of shaky, to put it lightly. So I think we need to get into what you might have as insight as a guy who's at House Hall all the time on Jalen Johnson and whether or not we expect him to even be around when Monday Night Football plays. That's coming up with more. Raheem and Harris, Mark Grody in for Layla on 670 The Score.